You're listening to CITR Radio, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam territory of UBC's Point Grey campus. I'm Jake Clark, and today we have a special interview for you with director and writer Deepak Rauniar, who will be screening his 2016 feature White Sun at the Rio at 7:30 this evening. Deepak, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you for giving this opportunity to
It's no problem. It's a very interesting situation because I suspect most of our listeners are unaware of the sort of recent advent in Nepali culture.
In Nepal, Nepal culture, yeah.
Because it's been recently very, very active and there's been a lot of unrest, and that really informs the film. And I was wondering if you would sort of tell us about that, like what this film deals with and what sort of subject matter is in play here.
We had a civil war for 10 years, a decade long, like from 1996 to 2006. And the peace process that started in 2006 is still on the process, not concluded well. So this film is set in 2015 in the backdrop where the first time in the history, the Constitutional Assembly is writing a constitution, elected Constitutional Assembly, but we never had a assembly who was writing the constitution for the country. So it's first time happening, and this story is set in a village where a Maoist soldier, who Maoists were the one who led the war for a decade against the regime. So coming back home after a decade of absence for his father's funeral, but he has to deal with his brother who fought in the different side of the war, from the government side and the families and people, his wife and the daughter that he has not met. So this film sets around three nights where this guy is negotiating with his brother and villagers to how to cremate his father, to bring the dead body from the house to the river, because in Hinduism, you have to bring the dead body to the river, carry by his sons from both sides, and then you burn, cremate it at the river.
Ah, and because of the divide in the family.
Yeah.
And it's a very symbolic divide there, I must imagine, because from what I know about it, Nepal was formerly a specifically Hindu state.
Yeah, it used to be like Hindu kingdom until 2006, but now we, because of the war and all that, we are now a secular country and also a republic, a federal republic.
What sort of effect does that have on Nepali culture on the whole? Because it's, the country is still, I'm given to understand, about 80% Hindu.
Not 80%. I wouldn't know exact percentage currently, but dominatingly Hindu.
Okay.
But we have also Buddhists and Muslims and Christians, other religions also as well.
And for the insurrection here, this takes place in a village in North Nepal?
Yeah, it's in mountain village. It's a kind of representing the Nepal that we know from outside, inside. It's a mountain country. Ah. Actually, though it's not a mountain only, it's also had 50% population living in the plains. A lot of people don't know about it. So I have set it the film in a mountain country where named Gorkha. Gorkha used to be a kingdom that was the king who accumulated this land, which is current Nepal. So it's kind of works in the myth of Gorkha, where you see how people being ruled. This chief of the village has died, and he has two different sons from two different mother, and two different ethnicity, and they're coming home with two very different, drastically different beliefs and political beliefs. So they had to negotiate together to carry the dead body to the river.
There's quite a strong martial culture in Gorkha as well, yes?
Yeah.
Because I'm familiar with the sort of, in the British Army, there were the Gorkhas, and they were
It is named after the Gorkha, and because the army that is still known, very British still have a regiment called Gorkha. I think two regiments, one serves in Bahrain, one in UK. Also, Singapore has a Gorkha regiment, and Indian Army still has a Gorkha regiment from the time of British India. They separated, but they kept the regiment differently.
And Gorkha is one of the cultures of Nepal.
Gorkha was a kingdom which the king of Gorkha, the Prithvinarayan Shah, was the one who led this war from the other kingdom. Nepal used to be a very lot of small kingdoms with a lot of different ethnicity and languages. So still today, the country speaks 123 spoken languages we have around the country. But still, but the king, what he did, like he accumulated, like won these wars and accumulated the land that we have called Nepal today, and pushed one language, one nationality, one race, one religion, kind of like forced on the people, which went around 240 years. And that was one of the reasons that people were unhappy. And there are a lot of spoken language. You don't get service in language. You don't feel connected. And when Maoist started the war, a lot of people felt that they could actually achieve something with this, like the same dignity as the upper caste Hindu are ruling the country.
And because of the proximity to China, were the Maoists primarily based in the north of Nepal, or was it throughout?
Mostly Maoists was surprisingly mostly based in India or Indian border. Though people would from outside would think that it has connection mostly strongly with China, they might have some connection. I wouldn't know, but mostly they were operating from Indian side and also in the mountains.
That's interesting. And in terms of this context, compared to this cycle of conflict, how has the arts scene in Nepal sort of reflected this? Like, what are some examples of Nepali art or film that you would say also help shine a light on this?
We didn't really have a film culture because for 104 years we were ruled by Ranas during the British India Company on the other side in India. And Ranas didn't even allow the schools. Then we had a brief democracy, and the kings took over for 30 years again for dictatorship. So we have very young film industry, which started only after 1990. We started to make more films, though we made a couple of films earlier. So it's very like young industry trying to achieve things. My film, Highway, was the first film in 2012, which did bigger festivals, like premiering in Berlin and doing a concert circuits. This is my second feature, White Sun. But now, in meantime, there's other also young filmmaker has come up and doing the films. My friend's film did screen in Montreal, Toronto, and also like I have the film in Toronto last year, 16. His film was premiered in Venice. And so there are a lot of young filmmakers coming up. But we do have a commercial industry that makes like a Bollywood film in Nepal itself.
Because this film is, of course, a very sort of
art house and indie
domestic drama.
Yeah.
And then there are also films there that are like huge musical type of things.
Not music. Yeah, kind of musical. Like you have like Parmula, I would say, Parmula films where you have like sung four or five song dances. And four or five fight sequences, like you have one comedian and one heroine, kind of like same kind of thing that Hollywood, Bollywood picked from Hollywood, I guess. Like
light entertainment.
Yeah, light entertainment, escaping from the realities, like not talking about what is really happening in the day-to-day life.
Do you think there's a duty of the filmmaker to record that reality?
I think so, yeah, because one of the reasons that I was interested in the media was that you could do a lot with the film that you wouldn't be able to do with journalism and other forms of communicating. Because in a film, you can create an experience where in journalism, you're only giving the information and always not as easy to transform what you really want to mean telling people. So you could recreate the experience in the films, and which is powerful medium. And as a filmmaker, I think you have I feel a responsibility to recreate these things for the people that they can mirror themselves on the screen.
And is this sort of a neorealist kind of thing? Is this a conviction there, or is it more drawing from the conventions of film drama?
I think you could relate it to neorealism in Italy, like Bicycle Thieves kind of cinema, or you could talk about modern cinema like anyway. Like we're just trying a different medium of telling the story, like mixing up. Like I do a lot of improvising with the actors. Like I do have a script, but it's still I'm improvising with the actor. I do a lot of non-actors, work with non-actors and improvise on the set. So a lot of my people in the film are not the professional actors. And also I let them have a liberty like to live their life without telling them which camera move would be the next, figuring out with my DP to shoot how I would like to shoot. And
you find you're putting their lives on screen to a degree?
Yeah, kind of like recreating, like bringing those life and creating experience for them and others to like view what the current scenario are and how we are living and what we're going through. Because after the war, for long years, like war did change something, like war did break the gender dynamics, class dynamics, caste dynamics of the society, in the society, but also brought us a republic and made us secular, but same time war also damaged the society. People really were affected by it. So without being a bias, I wanted to bring silver lining of the war, or same time what destruction it really did to the society, kind of like document what we went through and put it together so we have one picture that we can reflect.
And that is White Sun.
Yeah.
Where, and now we can see it at the Rio tonight. This is Tuesday, November 13th. When else could we possibly see it? How is this available?
It's available in US Canada in iTunes, also in Amazon Prime, and other online mediums.
All right. So definitely check it out. And do you have another? And you say you're planning another film sort of tentatively. Do you have a title for it yet? Do you have an idea?
I have a working title called Raza.
Raza.
Yeah. It's if you translate it, it's a king. But I'm just keeping it in Nepali name, Raza. It talks about race, nationality, and national border. It will be set in the plains of Nepal, like in the which area called Madhes, which is bordering to India. And people like me who speaks a different language, called Maithili, and people from 2008 and 2015, we had like a huge mass demonstration for people coming on the street. We are dark skin and we're trying to ask for dignity, it's same as the light skin, the ruling the country for long years. So it's a police thriller, but in a genre format, but we're trying to achieve a social story and explore these things in the cinema.
Sounds fascinating.
Thank you.
All right, so you heard it here. Check out White Sun. Keep a lookout for Raza?
Raza.
Raza. All right. Deepak, it was a pleasure to have you in the studio, and we'll be on the lookout.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.